Welcome to Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. In each of our programs, our intention is to bring to our listeners the best of people, places, and projects of Northern California that we think you're going to enjoy and that we think are exceptional. Today, I have two individuals here from a nonprofit organization that is not only has service here in Shasta County, but beyond. And so we're going to talk. I think that's really suiting. I said beyond. We're going to talk with a Jedi today. And we're going to find all out about their organization. I have with us today, we have Nancy Swift, who is the founding director and executive director of Jedi, which is a women's business center at Jedi. And she's going to explain to us why it's called Jedi. And along with her is Kate Borland, who's a program manager at the Women's Business Center. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome.
Good to have you here. Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice.
So first of all, Nancy is founding director. What's Jedi? What's it stand for?
Jedi stands for Jefferson Economic Development Institute, and we were name challenged when I was part of the original community group as we were thinking about all the things that we wanted to have happen under a nonprofit in some kind of organization. And, we chose the acronym because we are all about community economics, but also, we had to put ourselves on the map in California. Mm-hmm. So, this isn't a secessionist movement, this organization, but it does say, yeah, we are up in the far northern part of California that's so special.
Yes, so, yes.
Yes.
And why? Was it associated with Star Wars at all?
Well, we take that mantle on. We are evolutionary warriors. We are talking about important things around the economy and doing things differently in some ways. So
innovation.
Yeah. Innovation, changing the system a little.
Beyond the norm. When I think of a Jedi, I think of someone who's spiritual, who is innovative, who is creative. So, you know, those are all good attributes.
They certainly are.
Yeah.
And the wisdom in the people in the organization, but the wisdom in the community. So absolutely.
So again, it's Jedi stands for Jefferson
Economic Development Institute.
I'm really glad you shortened it. Jedi is really nice, isn't it?
We are Jedis.
Yes. So I always begin the program asking those who are here to give us a little bit of the background. So I'm going to ask you both. I'll start with you, Nancy Swift, as the founding director and executive director. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Houston, and that was a long time ago. And then I went away to school, and when I went away to school, my parents moved to California, to what they called Northern California. And then when I was out in the world thinking about my graduate degree, and then also what I wanted to do with my life, it's always been important to, I've been driven by looking at women's economic justice, both around the world and at home. And I had an opportunity to come to, of all places, Aetna, California, to try out a form of peer-based lending in Aetna, California, with groups of women that was originated and modeled after something going on in Bangladesh. And Muhammad Yunus and his peer lending Grameen Bank were that model. So it's just a crazy story. That's how I got to California. My parents are in the Bay Area, and I stayed.
And what was your degree in?
International economics.
International economics. It's a good thing to be studying and focused on, isn't it?
Every time I'm thinking about or out in the world and in another country, I learn so much about myself. Mm-hmm. that's been the biggest gift. But absolutely, that especially if you're looking at the plight of women, it's really it's fascinating.
Yes.
To see all the ways that women are contributing, leading, surviving.
Yes. Women make a difference, don't they?
People make a difference, mm-hmm. and women make a big difference in their communities, with their own families.
It's powerful.
It's very powerful.
So, Kate Borland, you are the program manager for the Women's Business Center. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in Anaheim, lived all over Southern California, and graduated from Cal State Fullerton with a degree in social economics. I have lived through Northern California, the Bay Area, lived there for a number of years and moved up here about 20 years ago.
What brought you to Northern California?
My husband grew up here and he wanted to come home. So yeah. this is home to him.
Yes.
And so we've been here ever since.
Excellent. Excellent. So where does JEDI, where's the main office, you might say? Where's the home base?
We make a joke about the headquarters being mm-hmm. in Mount Shasta. Our origins are in Siskiyou County, that founding group of community members. But in the last 15 years, we've expanded to far northern California. So we're in between opportunities with our Redding office. We're looking for a new space, but we've been working down here for close to 10 years.
Yeah. So the locations for the offices are Redding, Mount Shasta?
Correct.
And?
We do all of our work online, on the phone, and in the offices.
But you have two offices, Mount Shasta and Redding.
Correct.
And so your service area is where?
Far northern California.
Yes.
And beyond. You said that as if it was relating to JEDI, but that's how we also say people find us online and it's appealing to them how we work. So sometimes we work with people out of the state even, but our focus is really on the far northern California. So Shasta, Siskiyou, Trinity, on out to Humboldt. We have a couple of clients in Del Norte, sometimes even in Modoc.
Yeah.
So we understand that part of California really well.
And what's nice about having a radio program that's live stream, anyone around the world can tune in and they may say, hey, I like what they're about and I want to make a connection with them. Maybe I could work with them even. So I think it's good that we delineate, you know, service area versus actual, you know, home bases, and then that you work far and beyond.
And we do have that happen quite often.
I bet you do. People
hear about us, and I've even had people call us from Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And join some of our trainings.
So, is that not cool?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty darn cool when
kind of like that,
yeah,
huh? Yeah. So you started in what year did you start JEDI?
96. November of 96, because this is our 30th year. We're celebrating 30 years of celebrating small people who want to run small businesses, in particular women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah.
So as a nonprofit, you have a board of directors.
We do.
How many on your board?
There are currently six, including myself. And, we are always looking for people who are interested in our work and can help be ambassadors, and are from different parts of the region, because our territory is so big.
Yes. And so as a board member, does a person have to come to a physical location for board meetings, or are those handled online?
No, I have to work really hard to create a retreat-like opportunity to get people to come in person, but we meet monthly online. And we also have, with the Women's Business Center, one of our projects, we have an advisory committee, and they meet in person and online as well.
That's excellent. I think most places anymore have that combination, but I think retreat's a good way to bring people together, isn't it? Yes. So let's kind of give an overview of the work that you do, Nancy, because I think it helps people when you say this economic development. So we'll talk about all the different programs, but just kind of a broad stroke, how would you talk about that? What do you usually do?
Well, let me start a little bit with what has been our guiding purpose and our mission for all these years, which some of it's been fulfilled, but not all of it. We're interested in the economic well-being of people and communities to build assets and local wealth. And so there's a lot of different ways you can do that, but that in this region, Business development is a critical opportunity and means for people to build some of that wealth. But we also are involved in other ways that we do that. So we have a farmers market, Mount Shasta Farmers Market, and the Alliance up in Siskiyou County. We know there's lots of markets in Shasta County, and they're really vibrant. And now we're starting to cross-pollinate with some of our clients who are coming into the Reading markets and then coming up to Mount Shasta. So that's all good, because access to great fresh food and innovative food products is so good, and our, you know,
impacts our health.
County is one county lines are boundaries, but when you talk about good food or access to fresh and local food, we need these farmers markets in each of the communities, and the county boundary doesn't matter. So as a nonprofit, we've looked for opportunities to work to better the community, but the individual is who is the target. So for so long, we know how important earning income and building something that maybe you pass on to your children, or maybe you create jobs for other people, how that is affecting an individual's sense of self, their own thriving state, their ability to take care of their family. And in this region in particular, I know we can all relate to this. It is our small businesses that are help this community be resilient and innovative. And when I say this community, I want people listening to think of their community, because we're really out here and every community is a little bit different. So always looking for projects that, well, we've got longstanding programs now. So in terms of entrepreneurial development, there's just so many reasons why we can talk about the importance of small business, small locally owned businesses in our communities as a strategy to help people into a thriving state. We also look for opportunities that are based in industries. So where are women in particular already working, and or what are some industries in the region that could provide even more opportunity for people to increase their wealth and income. In terms of programs, we have entrepreneurial development, we have a farmer's market, and then we have always been interested in helping everyone, and in particular people who aren't already doing it themselves. Yeah. And sometimes those barriers come because you don't know people around you who've ever run a business, or you don't have livelihood that you want, or that you've been kept out of things, or you don't have access to the capital that you need to do these things. So we're often working with people who are working to shore up their own income position and wealth position. So financial literacy, financial education. And we have a free tax preparation program that we run. And it's also started in Siskiyou, but now expanding. There's several partners that we work with down in the Shasta County as well. But, so we provide service in both places. And that's, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. And we are very interested in helping people maybe claim more of the earned income tax credit that if they're working, that they could get if they filed their taxes. And also, it's a service to the community. A lot of people we work with are seniors, and we help them not be taken advantage of and finish out their tax years. Strongly.
Yes. We want that, don't we? So, how are you funded?
Yeah. We are a nonprofit and we are independent, so we don't have any one stream of income. We do raise a little bit of money ourselves. We are really appreciative of the generosity of community foundations and other foundations that care about this region from here and outside, bringing money in, because this region, this very far Northern California, has had so much divestment that it's important that we're bringing outside money in. The Women's Business Center, is actually a program designated by the U.S. Small Business Administration. And so we get some federal money to support that, and we match it with non-federal money. And the state of California and the governor's Office of Economic Development is very supportive and has been generous in a lot of our business development services as well. So it's a patchwork. We have about 25 funders a year.
Grant writing?
That is one thing I do all the time.
Yeah. Most nonprofits do.
Yes.
I'm going to do a station ID, and when I come back, I'm going to we're going to launch in and find more out about the Women's Business Center. So we're going to bug Kate Borland. So if you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We are here in conversation with Nancy Swift, who's the founding director and executive director of JEDI, along with Kate Borland, who's a program manager with the Women's Business Center, which is also part of JEDI. You know, before I bug you, Kate, I wanted to ask Nancy, is there anything that you were going to share that I ended up interrupting for the station ID, or did we kind of give an overview, you think?
I think we gave an overview.
Okay.
I do want to encourage anybody listening that has an interest in more of the work that we do, that they go look on our website and they see some of the projects and partners that we work with. And as we talk about some of these projects, we can also talk more about partners.
And
about our business owners, too.
Definitely. So coming over to Kate Borland, as the program manager of the Women's Business Center, what is the Women's Business Center about? What are you up to?
We are about supporting entrepreneurs in our community. What we do is we provide outcome-oriented entrepreneur education, workshops, trainings. Our secret sauce is that we really walk deeply with the client. So we're not just going to throw information at you. We're going to go on the journey with you, take you by the hand, meet you where you're at, whether it's fear, whether it's you have no idea what you want to do or where you want to start. We'll help you ideate. We'll help you understand what licenses you need. What is the capital that you need to have? If you have no capital, how do you start a business without capital? I'm personally a kind of a big fan of side gigs for that kind of an alternate income, alternate businesses or part-time businesses to build into that when you can. And at the same time, we really work with, people at all levels of, you know, some people have been doing side gigs forever, and we help them patch them all together and turn them into a real business. It's about cash flow, economic development. How do we support you and the community as a family, as a mother, as a father, as a parent, in terms of reaching your goals as it relates to business?
Now, do you do outreach, or do you have people that just show up and start investigating what you're about and end up working with you?
We do both. We have we've been here about 15 years as the Women's Business Center. So we have a long history here in the community where we work with people, and our outcomes are pretty significant. So I personally will go out and, you know, we do outreach like this. I personally make an intentional outreach to organizations, to small businesses. We partner with SBDCs and other partner sister organizations in our community.
That's a S. What's S?
Small Business Development Center.
That's a government program.
It's a sister company. It's a sister organization to ours. And where they serve a broader or a different type of audience, where what we do is we do similar work. What's different is that we are able to go much deeper with our clients and form really long-term personal relationships with them.
And is that Small Business Association, is that a government structured, or is that a nonprofit, or?
It's also part of the Small Business Administration. So we're all resource partners together.
But how's it funded is what I'm asking.
Federal government.
It's a federal program. Yeah. Okay.
And this just last week, I was at with Caltrans, a procurement fair for government contracting to help small businesses in our region understand how do you contract with the government? We offer classes and workshops along the lines of starting a business, growing a business, a lot of mindset. Some of the things that our clients need the most help with is getting out of their own head. So how do you do that? Through meditation, through, understanding how to stop yourself from going in circles. Then we, access to capital as well. We create partnerships in the community to bring banks together to help our clients understand how do you get access to capital? How do you form a relationship with the banker? What does a cash flow statement look like? What does
a business plan?
What is a business plan? How do you create a business plan? Every element of business, we're able to walk that journey with you. And more importantly, we're going to help connect it to you and to our clients in terms of where they're at in that journey, because it's not the same for every business.
Yeah. When you meet people and they say, I want to do this, or I'm doing this and that because they're doing two side things, how do you assess that this is a realistic endeavor?
Well, that's a really great question. We start by, I talk a lot about you have a time budget, you have a money budget, and you have an energy budget. When one of the three is out of alignment, and typically it's going to be time, yeah, because you're scattered in 500 different directions, the initiative is typically going to fail. So we start by really balancing where they're at and their time, their energy, and their money budget. What are all the other activities that they need to put into play? And then we do some deep diving into really what are your interests? Is this the right business for you? What does it cost you in terms of time, in terms of money to run the business this particular way? Is it, sometimes no is the best answer. Yeah. And so then let's look for another alternative type of business that will fit what your goals are and what your needs are as a small business owner.
I think it's very valuable when someone can speak the truth, when you see that this is not really going to work. All you're going to do is burn out, to mm-hmm. be able to say no, or we need to reshape it.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that kind of guidance is critical for people. And you said you have classes and you do outreach. How do you do your outreach? What do you do for outreach, would you say?
So for outreach, we do events like this,
radio programs.
Yeah.
Good.
We will show up at events at chambers of commerce as often as we possibly can.
Good.
We will show up at our clients' events as well. And we just recently completed a culinary cohort where we graduated a series of people in the food business and manufacturing. Yeah. And so we kind of made an event out of that and invited our legislatures in to show up and present plaques to them and certifications for them. So we celebrate our clients as well. We will often visit our clients' businesses themselves and just drop in and leave some flyers or have conversations with them.
Cheering them on.
And through that as well, we just get a lot of referrals.
I bet you do.
We get a lot of those referrals back to us that this organization helped me, this person helped me, give them a call.
Yeah. I want to pause and think about that culinary program. So is that a program you hosted, or was it a different put on by somebody else?
No, we hosted it, we created it, and we hosted it.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So how big of a class could it be?
We graduated, I believe it was 40.
Wow.
40 over the course of a year. So we three different cohorts. We ran one up in Mount Shasta. We ran one in person here in...
One in Reading?
51 people.
51 people.
Yes.
51 people.
Okay. 51 grants.
Each of them received a $1,000 grant when they completed it. So there were pretty strict requirements that you needed to show up, because we weren't just handing out a grant. You need to show up and do the work. Make sure that you created a business plan, that you had your cash flow statement, that you knew what you were doing and where you were going. So we had a cohort up in Mount Shasta. We had an in-person cohort here in Reading. And then the final one that we ran was an online version that we just recently graduated in March of this year.
2026,
yes.
So you send out publicity and people go, ooh, I think I want to do this.
Correct. Then there's a... They have to, there's a, what is the word I'm looking for? process that they have to follow. So,
sure.
So they're interviewed and they're chosen because
and they probably do an application.
There's an application, yes. And then we will interview them, guide them through that, make sure they're a good fit, explain what the expectations are.
And how many hours a week was the class?
The class was over 6 weeks, and it was an hour and a half a week, and then they had homework, and then they were also required to meet with consultants during that time, so we weren't just throwing them to the wind. They had guidance and hand-holding through the process.
Okay. So I'm a little bit confused, because you said it's 6 weeks, but it was a year-long program.
There were three different programs, three different cohorts over the course of a year.
So each cohort did 6 weeks?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's why. And so they would show up at a classroom.
Correct.
And they would learn about the culinary arts.
So, well, they would learn about the business of culinary.
Okay.
So things like recipe costing, what those of us that, you know, how even making sure that you are budgeting for the napkins that you hand out.
Right.
When you're selling food. Budgeting for the cost of the container, how much does a cup of flour cost you, and costing your ingredients overall so that you know that when you are, so you're going to be profitable, because at the end of the day, you're providing a service and you love food and you're usually in the food industry because you love it, which it's a very difficult, it can be a very difficult business to make a profit in. So the goal of this is to help them build their business skills around understanding.
Yes.
Not just recipes and not just cooking, but how do you sell it? How do you market it? How do you package it? How do you
make it successful?
Make it successful.
Yes. So that's why I wanted to clarify, because most people think culinary, thinking, oh, we're learning to cook. So it's much more than that.
Much more.
Yeah, excellent. And so 6 weeks, if they complete successfully, they graduate.
Correct.
And that empowers them. I mean, if you're doing a business plan, you're learning cash flow, you're learning budgeting. I mean, that's all the good stuff.
And we're also building community within the culinary space here in Northern California. So that was as important, because building a business can also be very lonely, because you don't know what you don't know. And what one of the neat things that we did is we were able to bring in individuals who already had businesses or had experience in the culinary space. And there was people who were brand new into the culinary space. And so they got to learn from each other. So we've learned from that. And then we're repeating a similar kind of a cohort. We're working on a childcare program now where we've recognized a need that the community needs more childcare spaces. So how then do we,
train people
and make that a possibility, and make more businesses and childcare spaces available in our community.
That's fascinating. So as the working on the Women's Business Center, you've done culinary, you're visioning and working on childcare. Are there things in the past that you've also done?
Most of our work has been focused on individuals and foundational business training.
So that's versus a group.
So the cohorts are generally new.
Yes.
We've done different types of things, but never as concerted and
focused
as what the culinary and the childcare.
If I might pipe in too and add to what Kate's saying, it's so important. If I may pipe in, it's so important for, us in this, in our regions to look at, okay, what's a profitable path, if you will? And then logical partners and a need. So that was going to use the childcare as an example.
Yeah.
Kate mentioned that, we know that there's, a need for infant care, childcare slots, and those are generally home-based businesses. And so those are people, who may or may not call it a business yet. And it's an opportunity to meet the community need and partner with people who are also working on that. And that's really important to us. So that's the County Office of Ed. And in the Culinary Entrepreneur Program, we partnered with Tri-Counties Bank and also the Federal Home Loan Bank, AHEAD program that cares about microenterprise development in communities, and then also a commercial kitchen, because that, for some of those participants, was a critical element that they needed to understand how to interact with. And we get excited when we get to address a problem all together.
Yeah.
We've also been talking with the Reading Fashion Alliance so that when we think a little bit about manufacturing and ways that people can make extra money or make money, they have a real interest in making sure that people have skills and to either do it themselves and or go and work for larger companies. And so we're going to do a cohort-based model. So that's the training piece, the education piece around business. It's the industry specific. We always bring in people who know something about that industry way more than maybe we do. Uh-huh. And then also the money,
yes.
The incentive,
yeah.
The carrot, the seed funding, yeah. If you will.
You know, when you brought up Reading Fashion Alliance, you know, they hold sewing classes. I mean, you're training people. So it's a good model, whether you're working with individuals or you can do a cohort. Cohort, you can do a whole bunch of people at once and broaden the whole group skills. So that's
not only that, but it feeds into manufacturing, which is something that is, you know, really needed in the community to help women understand that it can be bespoke, which is you're creating one-off creations for individuals, but it moves into manufacturing. And then how do you grow your fashion business as well, if
yes.
that's something you want to do?
Yes. And I know we've mentioned women. Are men not allowed? Is that, are your focus is women?
We serve men and women. If you are, you know, wanting to start a business and you need that level of support, we will meet you where you're at. Women is in our name, so we speak about women a lot. And, you know, women are a force in our economy that, you know, we are a huge force in our economy. The majority of businesses in California are started by and run by women. The economic impact that we create is exponentially off the chart.
Yeah.
And there's not a universal voice that speaks to that. So yeah. We help women do that. But yes, we work with anyone.
Hooray.
Yeah.
If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I also want to pause and say thank you to Shasta County Arts Council. They provide us with space for our Reading production studio, courtesy of Shasta County Arts Council, led by Nancy Hill, the executive director, and they have a whole team of folks in the beautiful old City Hall at 1313 Market Street. We're very grateful for the partnership we have with them. Today we have in the studio two individuals from JEDI, which is the Jefferson Economic Development Institute. I'm so proud I got that right. We have the founding director and executive director, Nancy Swift, along with the Women's Business Center program manager, Kate Borland. So anything else you can think of, Kate, around the Women's Business Center that we have not talked about?
I think that we've covered all of it. You know, and certainly if you are looking to start a business, if you have a business and you feel alone and you don't know what to do next, or, you know, just give us a call, visit us at, wbcjedi.org, and we'd be more than happy to talk with you, find out how we can assist you.
And that website again is
wbcjedi.org.
And that's wbcje. DI.org. Nonprofit, so it's .org. Also, at the end of the program, I'm going to have you give phone numbers for people to reach out, or emails if you want to do that. Because I think you have a whole mix of different people. In your program that you have, Kate, and running, do you ever need volunteers?
We don't typically leverage volunteers. Most of our work is provided through contracts with individuals that have expertise, you know, if they're coming to us and providing a service or a class, we will bring in contractors, but most of us are compensated for the work that we do. And we take it very personally, and it's a personal mission for each of us.
Yes.
Really, it's very personal.
And I will add, though, that the Women's Business Center Advisory Committee is comprised of volunteers. So people who have an interest in this kind of work and or a skill or talent, like in the legal area, we have bankers on that committee. We have now hopefully maybe we'll end up with a radio host on our advisory committee, getting the word out. So those are ways to help spread the word about the services that are really important.
And I also encourage people, listeners, because the reason I do these programs is not only to inform and educate, but to invite people to engage in community, because it is we, the people, we're creating what we have in this lifetime here in our community. So maybe they want to make a donation to a nonprofit organization and like the mission of about what you're doing. So they can make a donation because it's a nonprofit organization. It's tax deductible. So it's a way of giving, whether it's $5. Sometimes people, I don't have $500. I don't have $100. $5. Five people put $5 together, it starts building. So it makes a difference.
Oh, early and often. Those are the most sweetest donations that we can get, actually, are the smaller ones, because they always come out of need. I would like to say, and we participate in the North State Giving, if that's a place that you might also look for us every December. One thing I want to be real clear about for your listening audience is that our services, you heard about our mission. We care about building people and communities and their thriving state. And our services are free to them. So we do the fundraising so that they can receive free and confidential business consulting from really qualified business consultants. And as executive director, that's been one of my, it's a primary part of my job is to hire people to deliver great services. And I'm really proud because JEDI and the Women's Business Center and all of our programs actually are vehicles for people to use and bring their talents to maybe a different group of people than they've previously had in business, and bring their talents to our community. So I'm particularly proud that we've got a really qualified staff.
Yeah, that makes all the difference. And, you know, being able to go through a 6-week program, sometimes people will think this is something I really want to do, and they may find out it is something I don't want to do. I mean, that's as valuable as finding out what you do want to do, because if it's not a good fit, why keep going?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, just recently I had someone that we were working on some, program, and she said, I decided not to do this. And that is the absolute win and the economic impact that we're seeking, because we would rather have you say no to this and choose something different later than move forward on a path that is going to eat your capital and frustrate you.
Yeah. And you're really trying to help people find the right fit.
Correct.
And hopefully it is a culinary program, you know, one of the trainings you've offered. But if not, that's okay too.
Well, and it doesn't have to be culinary or childcare. We're whole business, and my background is in growing businesses. I've run businesses myself. Each one of us on our staff have experience as of running their own businesses. So regardless of what type of business you want to start, whether it's a coaching business, an accounting business, a bookkeeping business, a food business, manufacturing, retail, we're able to provide you the resources and the services customized to you. So it's not just something that's generic and off something pulled off of a shelf.
Yeah.
We will go and do the homework. We will go find the connections for you as best that we can.
Yeah, makes sense. Thinking about the other programs, is there anyone in particular, Nancy, you want to highlight? I know there was a guest we were hoping for to be able to phone in that wasn't able to be here.
Yeah, I think I might wrap that into Reading in particular in this, as a result of the three cohorts, has really benefited from the participants in our cohorts. And, they're opening restaurants, and they have a place in the public market. We've got a couple people there, and there's a lot of people that are part of this downtown revival that have some kind of food related or distribution business. I was hoping to involve Tina Polycutt in this conversation. She's a wonderful local, and she has a business with, it's called Ladle Full of Love. And it started out as a soup business made with really, healthy and good for you ingredients, and it tastes fabulous. And she's figured out how to freeze them and sell them at farmers markets, but she's going gangbusters now and moving into some catering and some other food. And wow, she's an example of somebody that took the opportunity to get a little bit of extra cash to buy a new piece of equipment, and that enabled her to reach a whole bunch of new wholesale markets. And she's now up, as well as Redding and Chico, she's up in the Mount Shasta Farmers Market.
Wow.
With her products and expanding. And I know she'll be okay if I say this. she has been able to have that become a family supporting business now. Her husband's playing more of a role in it. And, it's really just, she's far exceeding her revenue goals. So it kind of takes a person that's got a lot of stamina and a lot of interest and maybe even ambition, at least a lot of chutzpah. And, we talk sometimes at Jedi about things like entrepreneurial seizures, and our role is to help somebody get over that, because you can be so excited about something, but as Kate was saying before, we got to test it and assess it. We are never in a position to tell somebody what they should do. We always want to bring them the best information for them to think that through themselves. So yes, we're here as a coach and a mentor. No, we're not here to judge whether that business could be successful or not. And I would say we've been in this, you know, we're celebrating 30 years. So we have some clients who've been with us for most of that time. And it's important that we're still here for them.
Oh, yeah.
They have different iterations of their business, and what they are today might not have been what they said they wanted to be at the very beginning. So we always want to be, Kate mentioned, be part of that journey, and that's so important.
Yeah.
We just a few, you asked before, if this was open to men, and if anyone's interested in our impact report, we do sort of an annual report. And last year we served 87% of who we served were women. So that gives you an idea. Mm-hmm. And, there's reasons for that, in terms of targeting and designing services. But also on that impact report, we have some really strong numbers about low-income people served, and you can see that 73% of who we served is rural. I know sometimes in the Redding area, people don't say the word rural, but if you think of Shasta, Trinity, Siskiyou, it is rural compared to other market areas. So it's important for us to understand that, and also to reach out into those communities that are off I-5 and maybe smaller and still need access to markets.
Yes.
So it's also really important for us as we're designing the services at the Women's Business Center that we are really working with underserved communities.
Yes. And, you know, it's challenging when you're in a rural community. Do you remember the statistic you have, Nancy, for the 2025 number of clients that you served during that time frame?
Yes. Annually, we serve anywhere between 500 and 1,000 clients. So last year, it was 665.
Yay.
2025. So that's a 12-month period. And that, for our program, was a little bit of a rebuilding period. So a lot of times, we get up close to 800. It does depend on the special opportunities we have available, too.
Yeah.
But that's... that's a lot of business consultations, and there's no limit on how much help people can get with us. They really can get what they need and come back for what they need next.
I'm curious, too. I was looking through some flyers that you brought in. There is the Business Breakthrough 90-Day Sprint. Kate, what is that?
That is a goal setting, for lack of a better term. But literally what we do is we, in the first couple of weeks, we sit down and we look at where have you been? Where's your revenue for the last 12 months? You know, what do you need to continue to sustain to be able to keep that revenue going? And then what new initiatives do you want to bring in so that we're looking and focusing on growth as well as sustaining and going back to that time, energy, money budget analysis of how many hours a week do you actually have to work on this new initiative that you want to bring into play.
And that particular program, some at least sometimes, is held online.
That is mostly held online,
mostly
yes.
Mostly online.
It is mostly online,
that's
yes.
Very nice. Everyone can access it.
Correct. And we run that, again, in a cohort type of a program so that we're building community and everyone is going through at the same time and continued. You know, the content builds on each other, on it, and then we run that about 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah. And how about the Startup Blueprint?
The Startup Blueprint we run, about, again, 2 and 3 times a year, and the purpose of that is to, if you don't have a business plan or if you've just decided you're going to start a business and you have no idea what to do and you don't know whether you're profitable, the goal here is to give yourself structure, make sure you're licensed properly, make sure that you've identified your target audience. Who do you serve? What problem do you solve? Everything that you need to be able to have both a roadmap for your business, but also to understand what your capital needs are and to help you get prepared for capital if and when you get to the point that you're ready to go to a bank and start working on getting access to capital.
And is it possible for people to access your class schedule? Would that be on the website?
That class schedule is on the website. You can also sign up for our newsletter. We send a weekly newsletter that where we share what's coming up for us. We share insight as well as other community things that are happening and access to grants that might be coming available so that we are keeping our clients informed and updated on what the possibilities for them are.
I can imagine, too, there's probably somebody out there listening that goes, well, I think the individual is cool, and I think the culinary 6 weeks is cool, and I think that whatever it is you've done in the past, but maybe they have a desire and think this is a need that's not being met. Can they reach out to you and have a conversation about that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Reach out to us. You can visit our website again at wbcjedi.org. Or if you would like, you can email me at kborland, B-O-U-R-L-A-N-D, at ejedi.org. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
How about phone calls?
Phone calls as well. And the phone number is, let me look up the phone number.
The number is 888-926-6670. And I just want to say those are the best conversations. Kate gave her phone number and her email. She wants them, but I love them too, because that's when we know we've touched, there's something meaningful there, so we can explore how we could bring what we do best to that picture and help somebody or build a partnership.
Yeah, that's excellent. Time is going so fast. We have about 10 minutes left. I'm going to do a station ID, and then we're going to launch into our next topic. If you just joined us, this is a segment of Enjoy Exceptional Living. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. This program is in collaboration with Enjoy Magazine, KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio, and myself. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation with Nancy Swift. She's the founding director and current executive director. And we have Kate Borland, who's a program manager for the Women's Business Center, both of JEDI. And because of time frame shrinking slowly, what else do you want to focus on, Nancy, that you think's critical for us? I know you talked about, you know, the work in the context of the larger economy. Do you want to highlight that, or is there a project or partnerships that we have passed by and haven't really talked about enough?
How about if I do both?
Yeah, let's do both.
I do want listeners to know that during tax season, we do have a service, which is free tax preparation for low-income wage earners, seniors, and anybody who, is trying to, who wants to understand how to prepare their taxes better. And,
So where's, is that also listed on your website?
It is listed on the website. It becomes available late January once the state and the feds have finalized what a tax return is going to look like for the year. And so if somebody just goes to our website and is thinking about it, and it'll also be posted in our offices, and we market that the season is open. And that's really valuable service to so many members in the community. And we are a partnership in far northern California. So we're doing upwards of 3,000 tax returns in a year.
Wow.
Which is pretty significant when you think of how much money that's saving people and therefore they're spending in the community, but also how much earned income tax credit they might be capturing, and how people are more empowered around their taxes.
Yeah.
We had one previous director of that program who used to talk about take the axe out of tax, you know.
I like that.
We don't need to be scared, and in fact you want to be fully in control of your tax return, because you may have goals and you want your tax return to reflect that, and you don't want to feel uncomfortable that somebody else, all you've done is answered what somebody else said. It's like, yeah, you can be, that's a moment when you're in control of your own finances. Yeah. So I want to be sure people know about that program. And it's, in short, it's called VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. That is another place that people can volunteer with us. The volunteer opportunity requires a little bit more investment, in that we help our volunteers get certified to prepare the taxes. So wow, if you're interested in bookkeeping, maybe you're a student at the college, or even you want this for your high school project, or you're retired and somehow you've been in the industry at all, we'd love to talk to you, because
there's a need.
There's a need. And it's, I will say, we get in the Mount Shasta office every day, we get some kind of gift of food, because people do want to give back. They're so grateful. And so we have cookies and
nice
Thai salad and everything you can think of. So that's really, it's a program where you can, it just makes you feel good all the time.
Yeah.
And you can hear a sort of a theme in all of these, programs that we are currently offering. You asked, what else have we done? So some examples, the creative economy is really strong in our communities. And so we had a business of art program before, stewardship tourism program before. Many of the projects tend to have some kind of small business at the heart as the strategy. And that's what I wanted to say about the larger context. Our communities, a lot of the jobs in Siskiyou County alone, 92% of all jobs are provided by small businesses. So, and I recently had a small business owner say, "Why do you always have to call me small?" And I agree. She was right. At the same time, it's a way to place yourself. You're not a corporation most of the time. And it's a way to place yourself in the lending spectrum. So it's kind of like, which lens do you have on? They are an active business, and that business is very important to somebody. So yeah, but what we mean by that is locally owned and controlled. Generally, it depends on what definitions we're looking at. Doesn't matter. But and sometimes they're even solopreneurs. So we have employees or we don't have employees. But those are the kinds of that's they're so prevalent in our community, and there's such an opportunity. So why not unleash gender responsive capital? Why not unleash capital that's really going to promote startups in ways? I think there's a really dynamic conversation that's happening in Reading around manufacturing and innovation. And how do we expand that so that more people are included in that conversation?
Yeah.
And also in receiving the capital and things. So, small business becomes this vehicle, and it's based on ownership and agency. And that's what we know that we bring to our partnerships too. We want to talk to people in community about when you own it, you make different decisions. When you own it, you stick around longer. When you own it, you're also volunteering at the fire department and your kids are going to the school and maybe your business is asked, you know, for the 100th time to contribute to some kind of sports program. The small businesses are so critical in our communities and they are a vehicle that makes sense. It's a reasonable investment.
Yes.
And the return on investment is so huge.
Yes.
We recently did a study that shows for every dollar invested in our program, 79 return to the communities.
That's amazing.
And that's to jurisdictions. That's also sales tax. That's also other tax, property tax revenue. It's really important.
It supports
for the running of our governments,
yeah.
For the running of our communities.
The health of our community.
The health.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You also use the word agency.
Yes.
Explain what that means. What does agency mean?
Agency means you're in control.
Yeah.
You are leading the way for your own development and your own goals and your own priority. People don't talk about it. When you have more agency, you also price differently. When you have more agency, you also have more confidence and leadership in other areas of your life. And again, running some kind of business or generating some kind of income that you're mostly completely in control of. There's a lot of external factors in the economy, but to the extent that you can be completely in control, it gives you a different feeling and you have a much different investment in the outcome of that.
And you're
and for some people, they've only ever had a low wage job where somebody else has managed that for them, or they've been discriminated against and never been able to build up something that was meaningful and right for them.
Yeah. It's, you know, I would describe it too. All the words you used, I agree with. And you're empowering people.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the thing. We may use the title small, but they are local. They're the fabric of the community. And everyone that's in a part of the fabric of the community has a relationship to each other. And when they thrive, the community thrives. And so we have belonging. We have meaning. We have purpose. I mean, those are all the good things you're kind of planting with all the work you're doing. That's a very good thing to be doing. Feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell by 30 years of commitment that you've bought into this. You're on it, man. So my invitation for our listeners is to get to know this organization. The website they can go to again is WBC
Jedi, JEDI.
.org.
Correct.
And also, there is one other website, just to confuse everybody. The JediEconomy.org also references the VITA, and they're all connected. So it also references the tax services, and you can get to the Mount Shasta Farmers Market site as well. But the Jedi site is JEDIECONOMY.org. JediEconomy.org. And I would invite listeners,
yes.
Following on your phrasing, to become part of our Jedi Economy with us.
Yes.
We are so interested to hear from you.
Very quickly, what does that mean when you say that? When you extend that invitation, you're wanting them to sign up for the newsletter, check out the website.
Call us and tell us about your dreams, and we'll see how we can walk that path with you.
Yes. Maybe you also want to serve on an advisory committee. There's lots of different ways. Maybe you want to make a small donation or a large donation, but we have the opportunity to be involved in something that's making a difference in all the Northern California communities. And, you know, I find that people are extremely creative. And when they connect with others and that spark happens where it blossoms, we all benefit. So good for you too. We've been in conversation here with Nancy Swift, the founding director and executive director, and Kate Borland, who is the program manager for the Women's Business Center for Jedi. I love that, Jedi.
You're having fun saying that.
No, I do. All too fun. I have this imagery. I see you too with, no. Thank you for joining us. I want to remind us here in the studio and our listeners, we want to make this day and every day A Day to Enjoy Exceptional Living. Thank you for joining us.